We all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Ms. Gregory, can we do a roll call, please?
Commissioner McLaren. Commissioner Maynard.
Present.
Commissioner Ramirez.
Here.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
Chair Fullerton.
Here. Okay, next we have public forum. This is the time for any member of the public to speak on any item that is not on the agenda. Ms. Gregory, do we have any members of the public wanting to speak?
With any attendee who wishes to speak, please either raise your hand here or click on the raise hand icon now. No, Chair Fullerton, not at this time.
Okay, thanks. The first item on the agenda is the administrative agenda. Ms. Gregory, can you please read this into the record?
Item A, are there any changes on the agenda today? Adjustments?
There are no amendments or adjustments. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no items on the administrative agenda. The next item is item B. It's a public hearing. It's on the proposed vesting tentative parcel map, development plan lot C, development plan lot D, development plan amendment lot B, substantial conformity determination lot A, and design review for Patterson Associates LLC at 5383 and 5385 Hollister Avenue, APNs 071-140-074 and 071-140-075, case numbers 21-0005-SUB, 20-0003-DP, 21-0003-DP, 22-0001-DPAM, 22-0002-SCD, and 22-0017-DRB.
Hey, great. Do we have a staff presentation?
Good evening, Chair Fuller, Fullerton, and members of the Planning Commission. Tonight, we're looking at the Patterson Associates and Santa Barbara Corporate Center, two new buildings. The project site is located at 5385 Hollister Avenue, and there are fronts on Hollister Avenue, and there are several new buildings and also a vesting tentative map that I'll run through in the following slides. Here's a list of all of the requested approvals. So the first is, as I mentioned, a vesting tentative parcel map to subdivide the existing lot B, which is an 8.48 acre parcel, into three parcels consisting of new lot B, new at 4.62 acres, new lot C, which is 1.82 acres, and new lot D, 2.04 acres. An additional approval will be requested is a development plan amendment, which will be for new lot B, to document parcel line changes and landscaping and parking lot improvements, and also the associated design review preliminary approval. The third is a development plan for new lot D for the construction of a new 34,002 square foot office and R&D building and associated design review preliminary approval. Fourth is the development plan new lot C for the construction of a new 14,000 square foot office building and associated design review preliminary approval. The fifth is a substantial conformity determination, which is for the existing lot A to document minor changes to the parking and landscaping improvements and the associated design review preliminary approval as well. This slide here shows the proposed vesting tentative parcel map, and on this you're not seeing the existing lot A, which is the lot that fronts on Hollister, but but it shows the new Lot D, new Lot C, and new Lot B in the proposed buildings. Here are, the last slide showed existing buildings, and with this slide, we're seeing the new Lot C and D with the new buildings proposed for those two lots. This is for just new Lot B and the development plan, which is a development plan amendment. So the buildings are existing. There's no new square footage. They're just reconfiguring the parking and bringing it up to parking space, the number that are required by code. It includes motorcycle parking and bicycle parking, landscaping. It'll retrofit the lighting. And this received unanimous positive recommendation at DRB, and it is consistent with the zoning ordinance. So for Lot C, this is a new development plan and a new building. It's a 14,000 square foot office building that's proposed with new landscaping and lighting and parking spaces, bicycle parking as well. There are no adjustments or modifications requested and is consistent with the zoning ordinance, and it also received unanimous DRB approval recommendation. For the new Lot D, which is also a new development plan and new building, proposed is a new 32,002 square foot office and R&D building. There's new landscaping, new lighting, parking spaces, and bicycle parking. It also is consistent with the zoning ordinance, so no modifications or adjustments are requested. Proposed are also improvements to Patterson Avenue and Equal Street. This also received a DRB approval recommendation. And this slide is seeing the landscape plan. Overall, it exceeds the total landscape site coverage 19%, and also exceeds total parking lot landscape coverage at 52%. It is water-wise, drought-tolerant, and it contains a Mediterranean palette and ornamental grasses. An important component is that there will be a reciprocal access and parking agreement for all the lots. Through this, the proposal meets the total number of required parking spaces, which is at 655 spaces for all parcels. There are a total of 67 EV parking spaces, and 69 parking spaces are provided. So that's, the 67 was required, 69 are provided. This chart shows the bicycle parking proposed. It's kind of complicated, so I'm not going to go through all this, but I just wanted to see this slide. We can go back to it if anyone has any questions. And lastly, there's Lot A, which is an existing lot, and there's no new square footage for this lot. It is just a substantial conformity determination. There's for the reconfigured parking plan, which was reconfigured so that enough parking could be placed on the overall project and meet the minimum standards. The CEQA analysis includes a notice of exemption per the CEQA requirements. The project qualified for an infill development project categorical exemption, which is under section 15332. Part of that determination is that it meets that the project is a substantially developed site within the urban context. It's consistent with the general plan and zoning ordinance. The site does not contain habitat for endangered, rare, or threatened species, and there's no significant impacts related to traffic, noise, air quality, or water quality. The project is both consistent with the general plan and the zoning ordinance. There's a complete analysis attached to the resolution that explains how the project is consistent with Table 2-3 of the land use element. It's consistent with the visual and historic resources element and the airport flight path overlays. It's consistent with the safety element, hazards and risk assessment, and flight path overlays. Consistent with Chapter 4, the conservation element with respect to water quality and air quality. It's consistent with the transportation element that there are no impacts related to level of service or VMT on city streets and intersections. The following findings need to be made in order to approve this project. So they, for the, there are several sets of findings based on each of the approvals that are required. The first is for the vesting tentative map. So the findings include consistency with the general plan policies. The site is physically suited for proposed development. Adequate access and parking are provided. Subdivision is unlikely to cause environmental damage. Subdivision is served by existing public services, and the subdivision will not conflict with existing public easements. For Lot B, which is the lists the findings for the development plan amendment, the findings that must be made are minor changes to existing parking lot and landscaping, that adequate parking and shared with shared parking and access agreement, consistent with the general plan and zoning ordinance, and that no new environmental impacts to the original development plan. For Lot C, which and Lot D, both, which are new development plans, so they have share the same findings. So the findings that need to be made is that the 14,000 square foot and 32,000 square foot buildings are compatible with surrounding neighborhood. There's adequate infrastructure and public services, adequate parking access and circulation, that it complies with all the development standards, that there are no violations existing on any of the lots. There is a legal lot and the lot is adequate in size and shape, and that there are no significant impacts. The findings for Lot A, which is the substantial conformity determination for the existing lot, that there that need to be made are no changes to the existing footprint or height. There are no changes to use. The landscaping and parking spaces changes are minor in nature. The project is consistent with the zoning ordinance. There are no existing violations on the project site. The legal lot is of adequate size and shape, and that there are no significant impacts, environmental impacts. In conclusion, the project is consistent with the office and institutional OI land use designation as well as OI zoning designation. The project will not result in significant effects to the environment as stated in the notice of exemption. The project meets the findings required for the vesting tentative parcel map, both development plans, the development plan amendment, and the substantial conformity determination as outlined in attachment one. For our recommendation, we recommend that the Planning Commission adopt the notice of exemption and adopt the resolution approving the vesting tentative parcel map 210005VTPM. Development plan 20-0003-DP, which is new building D. Case number 21003DP, new building C. Development plan amendment 220001DPAM for new lot B. And the substantial conformity determination 220002SCD, existing lot A. So Ms. Prosty just noted, and I'd like to read into the record that there were two square footages that were not correct on the slideshow. So slide number 17 had a... And slide 8 both had 32,000 square feet, 32,002 square feet, and it's actually 34,000 square feet. See, that concludes my presentation, and I'm available for questions if the Planning Commission has any.
Okay, is there a presentation from the applicant?
Yes, there is.
Should we do that before we take questions?
Sure. It'll take me just about 30 seconds for that presentation to load here, so give me a minute here. Thank you. Thank you, Heidi.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Good evening, Chair Fullerton and Commissioners. My name is Heidi Jones with SEPS. Our team is pleased to be here tonight after many years of planning to get to this point, and we thank you for your time, and thank you, staff, for your presentation. We have our project team here with us on behalf of ownership. We have Kathy Duncan with Seymour Duncan, Jeff and Andrew Bermant with Patterson Associates and Santa Barbara Corporate Center. With our design and consultant team, we have Brian Poliquin, our architect. Can you flip to the next slide, please, Kathy? Sorry, I forgot that I'm not controlling that. Aaron Carroll, our landscape architect. Mike Hamilton, Scott Shell, our arborist and archaeologist are also available remotely if we have questions specific to any of those items, and myself. Jeff and Andrew Bermant are longtime local developers and property managers here, and Seymour Duncan has been here in Goleta since, or Goleta, Santa Barbara County since 1976. I'm going to pass this on to Ms. Duncan for a brief overview of Seymour Duncan's business here, and then I'll jump back on.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Appreciate the time here today. It has been a long journey, and I'm going to take you on a little bit of a slideshow. So if you go to the next slide, please. Oops, and they're not in here, but I'll just go for it. So that's us in 1976 in Santa Barbara on the east side, the Funk Zone. And we were there. That's actually a pretty nice-looking building. I traded labor to rent the 12-foot by 15-foot. That was our subspace. And then we got a little bit more and a little bit more. And we, when we say bootstrapped, we bootstrapped. But we came out here to Goleta in 1985 or 86, in fact, to a building we're currently have been squeezed into now since 1994. Sorry, wrong number. If next slide, please. But when we started business, that was my partner and husband and father of a beautiful company, a great musician. And this is us when we got into about 1981. That's down on Chapala Street in Santa Barbara. If you look there, there's four people in there that are still employed, working, 1981. And we have stayed true to our mission. Our mission, for those that don't know us, is to make musicians happy in any way, shape, or form. Next slide, please. And that is treat everybody equally, whether they're the on the far right, that's a very young Eddie Van Halen, back way before he was famous, way when he's coming in the warehouse world still, don't tell anybody, but have a little foam mattress up top that we got to sleep in, and when the big people weren't listening to him. That's Billy Gibbons in the sort of the left side there with the long beard with Tony Dukes from Texas and looked like it and talked like it. Seymour's over there on the left. You can see him in a lot of these. That's over on Bond Avenue, little big builder, bigger building, 2000. And MJ's down the bottom with Brad Paisley. You know, she's more famous than I am. So we have stayed true to our mission of treating everybody the same, famous or not, 15 or this, that many zeros or whatever. We're just in the business of bringing music to people. And because all of us are listeners, I'm not a player, but boy, I wouldn't be here without hearing it. Next slide, please. And believing in people is part of our team. We do have hand winders who are quite famous. It's an art form. It's not what you put on a wire because lots of lower priced stuff comes from overseas. We've got fierce competition. But our team knows how to do it with this special bit of magic and how. Like I said, MJ's more famous than I am. She's in the orange shirt up in the upper right. A lot of our women are celebrated. Their names are known. Known. Just, and so on the our hand assemblers, which happens to be of our roughly half of our people, so a team of about 60 here in that, some of these images, average tenures exceeding 23 years. We just gave 185 years worth of pins just at a company meeting a week ago. That's phenomenal. We've got, there were like five or six 25 years, a bunch of 10s, et cetera. So this is who we are. That's part of our blood. That's part of who we are. Next slide. But we also, part of our blood is believing in, again, people. So what are people? A community is people. A good community can't be, it's like a garden. If you aren't fertilizing it and watering it and caring for it, it ceases to exist. Those things that make people feel good and warm in a really scary world right now are critical. Sure, do we have to do it the right way and conform to lots of stuff? Yes. So some of the things we've done in our community is between Notes for Notes and awful happy to have raised all that money. Haven't done it, obviously, in the last few years. Hope to do it re-again as we get close to our, 46th, 47th, 50th year. I'm afraid to count that high now. But we also do it in many other ways, from volunteer time to volunteer and other things, supporting Cottage Hospital, you name it. But that's what's necessary. But mostly it's about the people, and we have been, our roots have been in Goleta since truly 1986. I was right when we went over to Pine Avenue, and then we were able to no longer be at the mercy of the landlords. So I got the best landlord in the world for 3 years, Jeff Berman, who agreed to sell me the building after 3 years, which he honored. And here we are, we've been crammed in that, and now had a great team to literally go across the street from where we are. And the team between our architect, Brian, here on the team is beautiful, Aaron, Eric, the landscaping, which I so believe in. Our people now would be, they're gonna eat at the same picnic tables they've been eating at, over by those volleyball courts. And of course, you know, we're the little outdoor trainers who wanna train their kids how to volleyball or do jazzercise or anything. That happens on that. That's an informal locals volleyball court. I don't know if y'all know that. It's Saturdays, it's COVID, it was their way to get out of town. Jeff maintains that. I pay to maintain that, as one of the members of the community. And you know what? That's just what happens in communities, isn't it? You know? So we have been in a long process. This is 42 months worth. We've been squeezed up. We really have a very inferior sound room. It's difficult. And even though we have, obviously COVID has existed since we started, we've always had remote people. But sound is alive. You have to hear it. And we do thousands and thousands of models of essentially no more than 12 shapes in any guitar or bass in the universe. And we'll build thousands. You know why? Because you've got a personality. They don't, all guys don't wear the same tie. Everybody has a different technique, so that's what we do. So please, please, we think we've got a great project here. I really look forward to cutting a ribbon and having our team have what they want. Bigger, brand new, not landlocked lunchroom, great outdoor space, the barbecue pits. We're big eaters, so we like that stuff. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, if we can switch to the next slide. One more. I understand that earlier there was some communication and questions about our proposed project and the recently approved Goleta Valley Community Hospital projects, which I also brought to you in December of this last year. So just for context, I want to touch on that briefly before I get into the rest of this. So on the upper right-hand side is the Goleta Valley Cottage Hospital Holly Pat parking lot. And then on the lower left kind of triangle adjacent to our site is the Aquatic Center project. Both of those were approved by Planning Commission. We obtained final design review on those, and we're now going through the zoning clearance process for both of those follow-up permits. In addition, the hospital has interior tenant improvements that are permitted by OSHPOD, which I think recently changed their acronym. I don't remember at this time, but it's not in the city's purview. That's actively under construction right now. You might see some staging and mobilization happening. And then if you go to the, well, just real quickly, down this far right side of the yellow line, that is Moore Ranch Road private easement. And so that is really shared between the two properties or couple entities that we have before you today in the parcels. But in both cases, the setbacks are respected for those projects with their minor exception that was approved for the Aquatic Center. So if you go to the next slide, you can see the property line is the green line. The blue line is the setback for the Aquatic Center, or sorry, the edge of the easement. The upper red line is the edge of the easement, which is on the Bermant Patterson Associates side of the property. And the blue is the Cottage Hospital. So for context, if you have other questions about that relationship, they don't really affect each other other than that shared road easement. Okay, next slide. Kathy, thank you for your thorough presentation. You know, I've been a planner for over 20 years, and this is by far the most straightforward project I've ever worked on. We're consistent with zoning. We have no modifications. We're consistent with the general plan. We have no technical study issues. We have no environmental impacts. Staff thinks that this, you know, qualifies for a CEQA exemption. We agree. It's not contradictory, controversial in any way, and it's a straightforward urban infill project. Just as a representation, existing parcel A and parcel B. The next slide will show the proposed subdivision. The next slide will go to parcel A, as Kathy mentioned. The yellow areas are really just the areas of reconfigured parking lot spaces to comply with Title 17 and provide the variety of parking types that we all have these days: standard, compact, EV, motorcycle, short-term, long-term, long-term with chargers, et cetera. Some minor landscaping improvements also associated with that. So here's just another example. I guess that was it. Thank you, Kathy. That's okay. Those two look the same. Proposed site plan for parcel B, again, existing condition that's being improved to comply with Title 17, improved landscaping, parking, trash enclosure, meeting heat island induction requirements, et cetera, in these areas of the site highlighted in yellow. Next slide. Parcel B meets or exceeds all of the parking lot landscaping, site landscaping requirements, heat island reduction requirements with drought-tolerant, water-wise landscaping, includes utility screening, kind of example photograph there on the bottom right. You can flip. We did want to mention that this parcel doesn't have existing parking lot pole lights. They have these wall packs. And on the next slide, you'll see the location. They'll be retrofitted to comply with dark sky compliant, downward facing shielded 300 Kelvin cutoff fixtures. Next slide. The new office building at parcel C, here's a beautiful rendering that Mr. Poliquin put together. New office building, 14,000 square feet, site improvements designed to be compatible with the existing adjacent buildings on parcel B, complementary to those. The roofs are all solar ready. All mechanical equipment is screened from public view. Next slide. Floor plan, you know, tenant is to be determined, but it's pretty much, you know, open space shell building for uses allowed by zoning, R&D, IT, business services, everything that's allowed per your zoning ordinance. Next slide shows the elevation of the trash enclosure and the four sides of the building. Next slide. This site has existing parking lot pole lights, and I believe there are four right now. They're going to be retrofitted as soon as possible with 300 Kelvin bulbs to bring down the luminaries until such time that the building is constructed. So in the interim, that's going to be completed. And then, of course, at some point, when the building does get constructed, all the fixtures will be, you know, 300 Kelvin, LED fixtures mounted on 20-foot poles, and have 0% candle crossing at the property line. Next slide. The landscaping, similar on all of these parcels, actually meet or exceed all of the requirements of Title 17. And interestingly, when we were submitted this this project, Title 17 rolled out right in the middle of it. So it took quite a bit of time to understand it, interpret it, get it all right. So we worked really hard to make sure that we met every single item that's in there. So as it demonstrated, we feel like we've done that very well. Next slide. Here's a nice, again, depiction of the landscaping that's proposed. This is of both the new parcels or the new buildings for C and D. The project as a total requires removal of 15 trees. Two will be on parcel D, which are mitigated. There are two oak trees, which are mitigated, as well as 10 other random trees. But we are proposing a significant number of replacements. So we have 42 trees as replacements in addition to the oaks. Next slide. Here's a shading exhibit, again, for the parcels that we're really improving and touching their existing conditions as B, C, and D. This is the shading exhibit, which shows the improvement. You know, the city requirement is to have 50% shading at 15 years, and this will be 75% proposed. And this is a nice graphic to show how that condition will be improved over time. Here's the new Seymour Duncan building for parcel D. It's a beautiful architectural approach We completed two design review board hearings that was greatly supported. Next slide. As a result of their input, some minor changes were made to add details, add full height windows, added additional windows for light, and added shade over the truck well. Next slide. Another representation. Next slide. DRB really complimented the fact that this design was appropriate for the neighborhood, liked the colors and materials, and really liked the landscaping as well. The next slide. And in May of this year, they moved us on to your commission today. A couple more renderings to look at. Thank you, Kathy. I think there's two more you can just flip through. Here's a first floor plan of parcel D that will be a mix of office, R&D, media production area uses, and accessory uses. The second floor on the next slide, just a representation of the second floor plan. Next slide will show the elevations. Again, solar roof ready roofs and mechanical equipment all being screened from public view. Next slide. To repeat myself again, we meet and exceed all of the landscape coverage requirements in terms of the site, the parking lot, heat island reduction, a nice, beautiful palette of water-wise native plantings, and utility screening. The next slide is another nice representation of the palette that is proposed. For this site, we have a similar lighting plan that's 20-foot pole-mounted, 3,000 Kelvin, downward shielded, dark sky compliant lighting, and wall mount fixtures that also meet that intent. Zero candlelight crossing the property. The key considerations here, as staff mentioned, we have an existing reciprocal parking and access agreement with staff went over that's already in place, and that will facilitate through the subdivision. It's for uses, access, recreation, and parking throughout. So that's really beneficial that that is in place and can carry forward and kind of meet the demand of what is just this perfect infill project. We have full support from DRB, though we have public improvements proposed for Patterson as well as Equal, city standard curb gutter and sidewalk, bicycle extension off to the county site to the south, storm drains, public access, and an improved entry off of Patterson Avenue as well. Next slide is the easement agreement, which we went over already, but just as a reminder, all of the parking is met on site through the existing easement that will carry forward, and we meet or exceed all of the types of parking spaces that are required per Title 17. Next slide, we've completed all of these technical studies that you see up here, and in all cases, didn't find any thresholds were exceeded or any potential issue areas through those analysis. Next slide. Again, we meet all of the development regulations and standards of Title 17. Next slide. CEQA exemption can be supported for infill development projects for new buildings and site improvements. Next slide. We have a thorough and complete planning process after 4 years. We started with the pre-app many years ago and again worked through tirelessly to get through the Title 17 compliance efforts that we've done. There's a complete and accurate staff report. We agree with the CEQA exemption, the general plan and zoning ordinance policy consistency descriptions. We think it's appropriate, acceptable and adequate project. We agree with the conditions of approval. We hope you approve the project condition resolutions. Next slide. Thank you for your time. We're here if you have questions.
Hey, thank you very much. Okay, so do we have any commissioner questions on the presentations? And if you could just raise your hand. Vice Chair Smith?
Yes, thank you. My question is about the reciprocal parking agreement, and just to make sure I understand, so it based on the report, it looks like to be compliant with the parking rules, it's the parcel or site C that's helping the other parcels to be compliant. So if parcel C were sold down the line, or, you know, everybody, each of those parcels turned over ownership, does that easement or agreement continue?
Chair Fullerton and Commissioner Smith, the existing parking agreement is applicable to both lots A and B currently, and that will carry forward as lot B gets subdivided into B, C, and D. So that agreement, if lot C were to be sold, it's still subject to the parking agreement. Selling off one or any of the lots doesn't change the parking agreement. It's already in place, it's already recorded, and it runs with the land. And I don't know if Ms. Jones wants to add anything to that.
No, thank you. I was just going to reiterate it runs with the land.
Great. Thank you.
Do you have any other questions, Vice Chair Smith?
I'm sorry. Yes, I actually had one more question. I was just generally curious. My understanding is the intent of the new building in Site D. I was just curious. You know, it was sort of described as R&D as opposed to kind of traditional office space. So I was just fascinated to kind of learn more about how. Just generally, it's anticipated that space would be used for those of us who don't have the technical musical experience.
Sure, Commissioner Fullerton and Chair Smith. So the Seymour Duncan Building, you know, has a kind of a blend of uses that fit in the OI category consistently. So they do a lot of research, prototyping, hand building. You know, customer service, they have all their HR, legal department, offices, marketing, sound rooms, quality testing. So it's all of an interesting business model. I don't think it's a standard office, but Kathy can maybe speak more to that if you like.
Do it from the chair and speak up. But imagine that you want to have something fitted to you. We would come and fit it to you. That's the
can the speaker move towards a microphone?
I was trying to speak up. So those images I showed you, some of the artists, you know, Billy Gibbons was here at our office just a couple of years ago. You know, COVID shut things down. They literally come. Joe Bonamassa. So, you know, sure, we take them down to Super Rica, and yep, we got our local places here and there. But, yeah, they come because, you know, this is where we're going to fit it. We're going to dress them. We're going to hear them. We're going to put in those six guitars, and the wood's different, and it needs to sound exactly like Pearly Gates. And so we have some very expensive instruments come our way, very rare, very one of kind, and we're going to make more like it. And that's an art. And then our winders, though, the women that you saw on the floor, yes, they hand wind it. They do make those things. We sell worldwide. We do a lot of stuff for a lot of people.
Great. Thank you. That's helpful. Those were my questions.
Thank you, Vice Chair Smith. Do we have any other questions? Any of the other commissioners? I don't see any hands. I have one question. In terms of long-term bicycle parking, I'm just curious, what, for an office-type buildings, what is long-term bicycle parking for?
City staff might be able to check clarify this, Chair Fulton and commissioners, but Title 17 has, you know, specific definition of short-term versus long-term parking in terms of dimensions and size and location from path of travel, et cetera, and really what's meant to accommodate. So they might be able to read the definition for you.
Chair Fullerton and commissioners, I didn't bring my code with me, but you're right. There are dimensions and other standards. But long-term parking is for basically employees. It's for somebody who's going to be on the site for more than, I believe it was 4 hours. There is a definition in the code. So as an office building, they are required to provide a certain amount of long-term bicycle parking.
Okay, thanks for clarifying. I wasn't sure if that meant like a week or... I mean, 4 hours makes more sense. Chair Maynard?
I think just to add to the clarification on that, if I'm remembering correctly from my time working on the zoning ordinance, it's really more about having more secure bike parking for commuters that bring in more expensive bicycles.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the clarification. Commissioner Ramirez?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just two questions. And in the presentation, it talked about some of the improvements, and I don't know if it was on Patterson or what the other street that it was called out. What were some of the improvements that were going to be made? I missed those during that part of the presentation.
Sure. Chair Fullerton and Commissioner Ramirez, you're talking about the public improvements that I proposed? Yes, let me get to my list here. So the existing driveway off Patterson right now is kind of at an interesting alignment. And that is being adjusted to be city standard, as well as bring down the sidewalk kind of ends right now. Bring down curb, gutter, and sidewalk all the way to Eckwell. Eckwell Avenue itself or street will be paved and have city standard curb, gutter, and sidewalk, as well as the bike lane extension from Patterson to right across Eckwell. I believe it becomes county area. And am I missing anything else? Okay, I couldn't find my notes, but I think that's it.
Okay.
Sorry, we will add that we do have members of Public Works staff in the waiting room if the commissioners do want to have questions particular to Public Works about the improvements.
Thank you. And then just one last additional question or comment. It's related to the compatibility with the surrounding neighborhood that's called out in the staff report. How does staff determine what the compatibility with the surrounding neighborhood is?
Commissioner Ramirez and Chair Fullerton. Compatibility, we look at size, bulk, and scale, and the height of the buildings. And those proposed buildings and the intensity of development on the site is, consistent and compatible with the office kind of character, I would say, on the, the south side of Hollister, pretty much from the eastern city limits over to, and I'm going to not say the name of is it a Greek Orthodox church on the, near the agricultural field? I'm not even going to bother trying to say it because I know I'm going to butcher it. But if you look at those kind of office R&D buildings, that's what we're looking at for compatibility, and it's, in that neighborhood.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Chair Fullerton, I wanted to go back to your question about the long-term bicycle parking. I have my computer here with me and was able to look up the definition. Long-term bicycle parking is defined as bicycle parking that is designed to serve employees, students, residents, commuters, and others who generally stay at a site for extended periods of time. And that definition is contrasted with short-term bicycle parking, which is designed to serve shoppers, customers, messengers, guests, and other visitors to a site who generally stay for a short time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Impel. Any other questions? No? Do we have any members of the public who would like to speak?
Chair Fullerton, I've received 3 Planning Commission meeting requests to speak at this time. And if anyone else wants to speak, I have a form that you can fill out and come up to speak. The first person is Derek Duncan, and you have 3 minutes, Mr. Duncan.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Derek Duncan. I am the son of Kathy and Seymour. I've been working at Seymour Duncan here full-time for about 20 years. Prior to that, I would come after high school at San Marcos, ride my bike out using the bike path. We're conveniently located pretty close to that, so that's still something I still use a couple times a week on my ride into work. I feel like this project will be good for the community. I think it's gonna be good for a lot of our employees. It's least disruptive as far as its location to our current facilities, and I just wanted to show my support, so thanks.
Thank you.
The second person is Ruben Zovati.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ruben Zarate. I'm born and raised in Santa Barbara. I split my time between the West Side and Goleta. I'm a musician also in town. I'm also part of the Downtown Parking Committee for Santa Barbara. I've been working at Seymour Duncan for a year. I was unemployed during the pandemic because I couldn't play shows anymore. And I stumbled upon a job listing at Seymour Duncan. And I went in, and I've been here for a year. It's amazing. They absolutely changed my life from being unemployed in the pandemic to just working. Yeah, I'm working in music, which has just been amazing. So I just wanted to come show my support. And yeah, I love Goleta. And thank you.
Thank you.
And the next person is Zach Clamp or Cramp.
Hello, my name is Zach Cramp. I also am relatively new to Seymour Duncan. I moved here for my new job with Seymour Duncan in September of last year from Nashville, Tennessee. And I feel very, very lucky to be a part of the team at Seymour Duncan. I've been a musician for about 20 years now, and Seymour Duncan has always been synonymous with quality and amazing, amazing instruments for guitar players like myself. I work on the marketing and artist relations team, so I get to sort of see that feedback come in from our artists and customers every day. So I just wanted to say how proud I am to work for this prestigious company right here in Goleta. Love being a new resident of Santa Barbara County, and thank you for letting us continue to do what we do best right here in town. So thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any remote speakers?
Would any attendee who is on remote please raise the hand raise icon now? Click on the hand raise icon. No, Chair Fullerton.
Okay, then I think we'll go ahead and close public comment. And now we'll go to commission discussion. Are there any comments from any of the commissioners? Vice Chair Smith.
Just before we dive in, should we disclose any ex parte or site visits?
Yes. Good idea. Thank you.
I guess I'll start. I did a drive by of the site. I didn't do a formal site visit, but I did drive by, and I think I had a couple staff questions that were answered here this evening.
Okay. Any other? Well, let's just go down the line, Commissioner McLaren.
I have nothing to report on any disclosures or anything like that relating to this project.
Commissioner Maynard?
No ex parte communications.
Commissioner Ramirez?
Nothing to report related to this project.
And I had no ex parte and no site visit. Okay, so now Commissioner comments. Commissioner Maynard?
This feels like a very straightforward project to me. I think the staff did an excellent job putting the report together. I feel confident making the findings tonight, and it was a joy hearing the public comment and the applicant presentations. You truly have a love for your business, and it was wonderful to share in that tonight. So I'm leaning towards supporting the project.
Vice Chair Smith?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I absolutely agree. I want to commend staff and the for a really thorough report. we get hundreds of pages, but everything, how it was summarized and put together was really helpful for us. So thank you to staff for that. And yes, I agree that the proposal seems straightforward. I think my only just kind of more global observation is that there is a lot, a lot going on in that section in terms of our past project that we've already approved, this project, and then even not too far in terms of just some of the public works activity that's taking place in Old Town. And, you know, so there's just a lot of activity happening in the city. So it's more just an observation of long-term kind of, you know, it'll be interesting to kind of see ongoing how that, like, intersection at Hollister and Patterson and the traffic there kind of shapes out over time. But for today, for what we have before us today, I think this looks, you know, well thought out, and I too would support approval.
Commissioner Ramirez?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, as my colleagues have mentioned, you know, these projects make our job easier than some of the other projects that come before us, and so I thank you, the applicant and city staff, for having a well-planned, well-thought-out project. As somebody who grew up in a household with guitars, as an avid Guns N' Roses fan, and seeing the pictures of Slash on those, it makes it it brings it home, and it adds to a kind of a personal touch to it. And so, thank you for your passion and for what you do for your employees in the community and those who enjoy music. And I'm happy to support this project tonight.
Commissioner McLaren?
Yes, I echo what Commissioner Ramirez said, and it's very nice to have just a straightforward project. And in reading this, also thank you to the staff as well for your due diligence, and to the applicants as well. Just in reading this, the report and the findings on this project was just like, okay, well, I have no questions, so, and that's good. So thank you all for that, and I am fully supportive of it. And it's not just it's going to help bring, I think, more business and opportunities. You guys are an awesome company, and thank you for coming out. But I know that it's going to also bring even more companies like yourselves here to Goleta, so I'm fully supportive.
I echo what everybody else said. I appreciate it. Such a straightforward project with no modifications, really beautiful buildings, and lots of barbecue space so you guys can eat. And I think it's great that you guys are growing and you need more space and that you're staying here in Goleta and that you want to continue to grow in Goleta. So I fully support this project as well. Do we have a motion?
I will attempt, Chair, to make the motion. It's a lengthy one, so give me a moment. I move that we adopt Planning Commission Resolution Number 22-, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, adopting the categorical exemption, approving the vesting tentative parcel map, approving a development plan for Lot C, approving a development plan for Lot D, approving a development plan amendment for Lot B, a substantial conformity determination, Lot A, to allow two new office buildings by Patterson Associates, LLC, to be located at future designated addresses, Lot C and Lot D, in Goleta, California, case numbers 21-0005-SUB, 20-0003-DP, 21-0003-DP, 22-0001-DPAM, 22-0002-SCD, and 22-0017-DRB, attachment 1.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Can we get a roll call vote?
Commissioner McLaren?
Aye.
Commissioner Maynard?
Aye.
Commissioner Ramirez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith?
Aye.
Chair Fullerton?
Aye. Okay, motion approved. Thank you, everybody. The next item is the director's report.
Thank you very much, Chair Fullerton. I have just a very brief report tonight. I wanted to make sure that the commission is aware that tomorrow night here in the council chambers and online, the city council will be meeting for a special meeting to consider the draft housing element as recommended to them by this commission. The staff recommendation is seeking the council direction to submit the draft housing element to the State Housing and Community Development Department for their review, which we will do promptly upon receipt of the council's direction to do so. So stay tuned for that. And our next meeting will be on July 11th. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Director Imhoff. Planning Commission comments. Do you have any comments from the commissioners?
I actually just had a question for the director.
Just for clarity, moving forward, absent any other health directives, we're expected to be back here in person moving forward the rest of the year.
Vice Chair Smith, that is correct. We hope to be here in the chambers and meeting in person. We do, with our lovely new facilities and AV equipment, we have the option of hybrid meeting as well. So if for any reason a commissioner or staff member needs to meet remotely, as Chair Fullerton is joining us tonight remotely, that's an option.
Great, thank you. I don't have any other comments.
Any other comments? Okay, then can we get a motion for adjournment?
So move.
Second?
I'll second.
Can we get a roll call vote?
Commissioner McLaren?
Aye.
Commissioner Maynard?
Aye.
Commissioner Ramirez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith?
Aye.
Chair Fullerton?
Aye. Thank you, everyone. Night.
Night.
Good night.